until the public becomes accustomed to the change, you see. Why should we spell knock, K-N-O-C-K? What's the matter with first N-O-C-K, then after a while just N-O-C? Why not? Silent letters, for example, the L in wood, W-O-U-L-D, or the P in pneumonia. They're responsible for one of the major differences between English as it is spoken and as it is written. Many now silent letters were pronounced about 500 years ago, says Mr. Johnson. I guess they used to say pneumonia with you. Pneumonia. And if you were, if you say, would you like something? You say, I would. I would. Well, when Caxton introduced printing in England, they used to pronounce those letters, and quite naturally, he included such letters in the printed word. Since then, the letters have disappeared from the spoken language, but have persisted, embedded like fossils in written English. Among the supreme examples of the idiocy of perpetrating silent letters is the written word. In the written word, according to Mr. Johnson, is knick-knack, for instance. This incredible word, he says, includes a silent double K and has the same letters silent four times. Think of that. K-N-I-C-K, K-N-A-C-K. We have a silent double K and the same letter is silent four times. Of the 604,000 words in the unabridged Merriam-Webster dictionary, he asserts that more than 400,000 have been estimated to include one or more silent letters. It's no doggone wonder we fail in spelling bees. However, some words, as they are now spelled, are an improvement over what they might have been. Mr. Johnson says we're lucky we do not have to spell circus as P-S-O-L-O-Q-U-I-O-I-S-E. The first C in circus might have been a P-S, as in psychology, you see. Supposing they had done it that way. Why they didn't, nobody knows. The I-R in circus might have been O-L-O, and as in colonel, see? You know, O-L-O in colonel. We spelled colonel C-O-L-O-N-E-L. And the second C might have been Q-U, as in bouquet. And the U.S. might have been O-I-S-E as in tortoise. Supposing they had done it that way. So we would spell circus, P-S-O-L-O-Q-U-O-I-S-E, circus. Well, I don't know why they didn't. And many other words have been modernized. The medieval spellings of husband, for instance. Husband, that used to be H-O-U-S-B-O-N-D-E. And mind, M-Y-N-D-E. They've been replaced by the way we spell them now, husband, mind, and so forth. As recently as the last century, Noah Webster, in compiling his dictionary, dropped the silent K from such words as music and logic. Why the heck didn't he do it in the rest of them? All in all, Mr. Johnson feels that there is some hope for a wider spelling reform in the future, but he is forced to acknowledge that these changes are a long way off. I know a gal who would love to see it made simpler. My gal Friday here, Mug Richardson. Is a gal that can't spell soup. I bet you can't. Spell me soup. Well, for heaven's sakes. A box of Milky Way to that lady. Well. Let's get some music in here. Bill Lawrence, where are you?
Right here.
You good speller?
Fairly good. That was my best subject in school. It's the only one I passed.
Is that so? Well, now that's fine. See, now that's just what goes to show you, see? There's the one of the advantages of our educational system. There's a guy who was a great speller in school. What does he turn out to be? A singer. See? That's amazing. So that's why he'll never misspell a word in the lyrics. I may be wrong, Bill, but I think you're wonderful.
I may be wrong, but I think you're wonderful. I may be wrong, but I think you're swell. I like your style. Say, I think it's marvelous, but I'm always wrong. So how can I tell? All of my shirts are unsightly. All of my ties are a crime. If daring you I've picked rightly, it's the very first time you came along. And say, I think you're wonderful, I think you're grand, but I may be wrong. 'Cause all of my shirts are unsightly and all of my ties are a crime. If daring you I've picked rightly, it's the very first time, oh, you came along. And say, I think you're wonderful, I think you're grand, but I may be wrong.
Thank you, Bill. How are you on pronouncing words?
Fair.
Fair, huh? Can you pronounce S-O-M-E-T-I-M-E-S?
No.
Very good. You stay after school. Jeanette, can you pronounce it?
Would you spell that word again?
S-O... Repeat the question, please. S-O-M-E-T-I-M-E-S.
No.
Tony, can you...
Sure.
How?
Sometimes.
Atta boy, you win. A carton of Chesterfields to that gentleman. Brother. Did y'all lead with your chins, huh? Mariners, how about you and I doing a tune here? By golly, we can pronounce them. Let's do Down the River a Golden Dream. What'd you do, have Mary Lou up there?
Yeah.
All right, let's do Mary Lou. I don't know. Huh? I think we better do Down the River a Golden Dream. We've been rehearsing this thing for a month. Let's do it. Down the River a Golden Dream. Down the river of golden dreams, drifting along, humming a song of love, where the silvery love not be blue under the blue above. And when we find the river's end, where the willows bend, there our days we'll spend together. The sky of love.
Down the river of golden dreams,
drifting along, humming a song of love,
where the silvery love
be blue under the blue above. And when we find the river's end, where the willows bend, there our days we'll spend together.
river of golden dreams. Just you and I under the smile of love.
That was Down the River of Golden Dreams, the sequel to a little song I wrote myself called Up the Creek with a Broken Paddle. Takes you back to about 1918, doesn't it? Used to be on one of those old player pianos, you know, that you pumped with your feet. What's the date of that song, Archie? Wait a minute, I got a copy of the sheet music here. I'll look it up myself. It's a Feist tune. MCMXXX. What the heck is that? 1930? Heck, it wasn't that long ago. 1930, that's only 18 years. I thought it was older than that. But I guess it ain't. Well, Chesterfields were one of the country's favorite cigarettes in 1930, Mother. And today they're 50 times the favorite that they were then. More than that, I guess. Everybody is loving the Chesterfields as soon as we can get them to try that first carton, you see. You want a really mild cigarette, huh? One that's really mild now. We just don't say it's mild. This is one that's shown up mild. Always has been the milder cigarette. The best cigarette for you. It's better tasting and it's cooler smoking. And I tell you, it leaves that nice, clean, sweet taste in your mouth. That's an important thing, you know. Especially if your gal friend doesn't smoke, see? If you're a smoker and you keep company with a gal who doesn't smoke, phew, you know, so you got to take careful. Be sure you smoke Chesterfields, my friend, lest you offend. Chesterfields are for you. Try it this weekend, though. The carton. Come Monday, you'll be one of us. Well, it's just getting up time here to say bye-bye. Would the Mariners like to do a hymn for us before we go? I think it would be nice to put a little cap on the week here with the Mariners singing Abide With Me. Don't forget to register so you can vote in November. Remember, that's the priceless privilege we have that many and many a good man died to preserve for us. Let's not neglect it. And have a nice, happy weekend, will you? Be the good Lord willing, we'll meet again on Monday. Until then, this is Arthur Godfrey down in Virginia, saying bye-bye for all the little Godfreys up in New York. For Chesterfield on CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.